This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Light the candles, get the ice out, roll the rug up, it's today. Though it may not be anyone's birthday, and though it's far from the first of the year, I know that this very minute has history in it. We're here.
This is Behind the Curtain with Colin, exploring the origins and history of musical theatre on Joy 94.9.
Hello, I'm Colin Hogan, and thank you for joining me on this very first program of Behind the Curtain. On the program, we'll be taking a look at the origins and history of theatre in Australia, also the entrepreneurs who not only brought theatre to Australia, but who now take musical theatre to the world, of course. And these people created an industry through their shared passion for performance. As you might expect, there'll be lots of show tunes. Will be a big part of the show. And that will not only have you singing along, but it will bring back some of your most memorable theatrical moments. And I would love to hear from you during the program. You can send me an SMS on 0427 Joy 949 or email me at onair@joy.org.au. And I'm wondering if this track might bring back some memories for you. Joy 94.9.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look, give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I bang my own drum. Some think it's noise, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each feather and each spangle? Why not try to see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out loud, I am.
Okay, so some of the highlights, as I promised to you, of Australian theatre history, and some of the highlights started with European settlers who brought Western traditions of theatre to Australia in the 1780s. And like other forms, art forms, Australian theatre was built on previous traditions and developed over time. That was shaped by local and international artistic movements, also the events and trends, of course. Australian theatre history incorporates the stories of many actors, the entrepreneurs, of course, the playwrights, directors and others. They were all working behind the scenes and on stage and across many cities and towns across Australia. Countless performers have entertained and captivated us and confronted Australian audiences. There have been non-professional and professional groups, local performers and artists visiting from other countries. The lavish large-scale productions and small community-based shows featuring plays and performances, they're written by Australians and imported from other, that are imported from other countries. The early colonial drama, which consisted mostly of English-style musical theatre, comedies and pantomimes that took on local themes, the disordered fun of the theatre at the time did not match the idea of Australia as a penal colony, as it was a place of punishment for convicts. Some authorities believed theatre to be a bad influence. Others felt it was useful entertainment, and these views affected the way theatre developed here. The authorities struggled with issues such as badly behaved theatre audiences, theatre licences and crime. Meanwhile, a few people set up theatres and presented performances with varying and then growing success. In the 1790s, Robert Sidway, who was a convict on the First Fleet, he established a theatre in Sydney where performances continued to right up to 1800, and then through into the 1830s. Barnett Levy, he established Sydney's Theatre Royal in 1833. Adelaide's Theatre Royal, the first in that city, opened in the same year as Sydney's Royal Victoria Theatre, and that was in 1838. That was later destroyed by fire in 1880. The Pavilion, Melbourne's first theatre, opened 6 years after the founding of Melbourne, and that was in 1841. And, of course, Melbourne was still a colony of New South Wales at that time. So that's a little bit of the history of it. We're going to have another track, actually. One of my favourite musicals is from Chorus Line, and you may be familiar with this one. So we'll have a little tap-along with Chorus Line.
I'm so excited because I'm going to go to the High School of Performing Arts. I mean, I was dying to be a serious actress. Anyway, it's the first day of acting class, and we're in the auditorium, and the teacher, Mr. Carp, puts us up on the stage with our legs around everybody, one in back of the other, and he says, "Okay, we're going to do improvisations. Now, you're on a bobsled, and it's snowing out, and it's cold. Okay, go." Every day for a week we would try to feel the motion down the hill. Every day for a week we would try to hear the wind rush, feel the chill. And I dug right down through the bottom of my soul to see what I had inside. Yes, I dug right down through the bottom of my soul and I tried, and everybody's going, I feel the snow, I feel the cold, I feel the air, and Mr. Carp turns to me and he says, "Okay, Morales, what did you feel?" And I said, "Nothing, I'm feeling nothing," and he says, "Nothing could get a girl transferred." They all felt something, but I felt nothing, except the feeling that this bullshit was absurd. But I said to myself, "Hey, it's only the first week. Maybe it's genetic. They don't have bobsleds in San Juan." Second week, more advanced, and we had to be a table, be a sports car, ice cream cone. Mr. Carp, he would say, "Very good, except Morales. Try Morales all alone." And I dug right down to the bottom of my soul to see how an ice cream felt. Yes, I dug right down to the bottom of my soul and I tried to melt. The kids yelled, "Nothing!" They called me nothing, and Carp allowed it, which really makes me burn. They were so helpful. They called me hopeless until I really didn't know where else to turn. And Carp kept saying, "Marie, Morales, I think you should transfer to Girls High. You'll never be an actress, never. Jesus Christ! Went to church praying Santa Maria. Send me guidance, send me guidance on my knees. Went to church praying Santa Maria. Help me feel it, help me feel it, pretty please. And a voice from down at the bottom of my soul came up to the top of my head. And a voice from down at the bottom of my soul, here is what it said. This man is nothing. This course is nothing. If you want something, go find a better class. And when you find one, you'll be to pass. 6 months later, I heard that Carp had died, and I dug right down to the bottom of my soul and cried, 'cause I felt nothing.
You're Behind the Curtain with Colin on Joy 94.9.
And thank you for being with me on this very first program of mine. So moving right along with our history of the Australian theatre. In 1901, Australian Federation brought a new sense of nationalism. People looked for ways to express a unique Australian identity with shows like The Squatter's Daughter and The Land of Wattle in 1907. I don't remember those, do you? And these were highly successful plays at the time with a bushranger plot. 1910 through to 1920, theatre continued to take up Australian themes. Musical comedy was popular in America around the 1920s, and Australia followed suit. Gladys Moncrief, now us older members of the community will remember Gladys Moncrief, a very big name, starred in The Maid of the Mountains in 1921. Following the 1929 stock market crash, the Great Depression hit the Australian world very hard, as you would expect. Live shows had to compete with cinema and radio and also entertainment. However, many amateur, semi-professional and smaller theatre groups, they began springing up at the time. And a famous name in Australian theatre, and particularly Melbourne, in 1934, J.C. Williams staged the spectacular Whitehorse Inn. In contrast, the international new theatre movement was responding to political issues with radical themes. Groups such as the Sydney New Theatre League, which was formed in 1936, and Melbourne's New Theatre Club and Brisbane's Unity Theatre, both formed in 1937, took up this approach. And this movement was active for many decades. The 1940s, World War II brought home many Australian performers who had been away in Europe on other continents, while many international performers waited out the war years on Australian shores. Despite a shortage of male actors, materials and scripts for productions, Australian theatre fulfilled an important role providing moral-boosting entertainment. New American musicals included Annie Get Your Gun, which played in Melbourne and Sydney from 1947 to 1949, and starred Evie Hayes. Now, I remember Evie Hayes. I'm sure some of you out there will probably also remember Evie, and she starred a lot on IMT. Of course, IMT was in Melbourne Tonight, the early days of television with the late Graham Kennedy and Bert Newton. So you might remember Evie from those days. Through the world of characters of Dad, Mum, Dave, Joe, and Sarah Rudd, the comic melodrama On Our Selection took a look at success, struggle and work in the lives of ordinary Australians. This On Our Selection, it played to over 1 million Australians and New Zealanders between 1912 and 1916. So that's not a bad percentage regarding the population at around that time. But during this period, vaudeville, that continued on, but fewer actors travelling through Europe imported due to the World War I, and shows now rested on local performers. That's in here in Australia, of course. But I mentioned vaudeville. We'll take a look at vaudeville in a little bit more detail in next week's program. But now we'll have a little bit more music.
Child, when you are leaving, I'm a woman.
The wonderful voice of Marina Pryor. That track was actually from a show called Song and Dance, and I think you would have seen that. It's Her Majesty's here in Melbourne back in the late 1980s. You're on Joy 94.9 as we continue on with our musical journey, which brings us up to the 1950s, which a lot more of you would probably recall. In the 1950s, the National Institute of Dramatic Art, which we know as NIDA, of course, that was established in Sydney in 1958. And in the 60s, Betty Burstall, she founded Melbourne's La Mama Theatre, and that was in 1967. Through into the 1970s, Australia's new wave of theatre began. The Australian Performing Group, and that was based at the Pram Factory here in Melbourne, and that was in Carlton, of course. They developed an offspring of La Mama Theatre Company. And during the 1980s, the Melbourne International Festival of the Arts was established. That was in 1986, of course. And that was under the name of Spoleto Festival. and you may very well recall that because that's not too many years ago. Australian musical theatre really through the 90s, that experienced a revival, as you would all remember. And during that 90s, the shows that came along, of course, were Brand New Day, Hot Shoe Shuffle, that was in 1993 from memory, and The Boy from Oz, which I loved. That was one of the, that was a story of Peter Allen. That was, that ran through 1998 and 1999. They were wonderful shows, and I'm sure a lot of you will remember those as well. You're on Joy 94.9 on Behind the Curtain.
But after a while I caught on. I mean, I saw what they were hiring. I also swiped my dance card once after an audition, and on a scale of 10, they gave me, for dance, 10, for looks, 3. Well, dance 10, looks 3, and I'm still on unemployment, dancing for my own enjoyment. That ain't it, kid, that ain't it, kid. Dance 10, looks 3, it's like to die. Left the theater and called the doctor for my appointment to buy tits and ass. Bought myself a fancy pair, tightened up the derriere, did the nose with it, all that goes with it, tits and hurt my sex life either. Flat and sassy, I would get the strays and losers. Beggars really can't be choosers. That ain't it, kid, that ain't it, kid. Fix the chassis. How do you do? Life turned into an endless medley of gee, it had to be you. Why, tits and ass, where the cupboard once was bare, now you knock and someone's there. You have got them, hey, top to bottom, hey, it's a gas. Just a dash of silicone. Shake your new maracas and you're fine. Tits and ass can change your life. They sure changed mine. Have it all done, honey, take my word. Grab a cab, come on, see the wizard on Park and 70. What you see, keep the best of you, do the rest of you, tits or class. I have never seen it fail, debutante or chorus girl or why. Tits and ass, yes, tits and ass have changed my life.
We're going to have some more music because I'm in sort of the foot-tapping mode. So we're going to have a tune from My Fair Lady, which, of course, is about to start its Australian run.
Bed, bed, I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to sit it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight. Not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night. I could have danced. Have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting. I could have danced all night.
You're Behind the Curtain with Colin on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for being with me. It's a pleasure having you with me. We're going to hear some, I'm going to talk about some history of one of our great theatres in Melbourne, and that's The Princess. And many of you would have been to that on many occasions, I should imagine, in Spring Street. So it's one of our grand theatres and one of our early theatres. The Princess Theatre had a remarkable history, almost dating back to Melbourne's foundation. It was originally an equestrian amphitheatre. The Spring Street site was extended and remodelled in 1857 by Australia's theatre impresario of the time, and that was George Coppin, and opened as the Princess Theatre and Opera House. Ownership of the theatre changed on an almost annual basis and underwent several more renovations, the most significant being in 1865, with everything other than the shell of the building rebuilt from scratch. Despite initial commercial success, the building fell into disrepair and closed on January the 3rd, 1885. The theatre had a new lease of life due to a partnership of J.C. Williamson, George Musgrove and Arthur Garner, who were three of Australia's most influential theatre practitioners at the time. The new Princess Theatre opened in December 1886, performance of The Mikado. Its marble stairs and foyer were hailed as equal to the Paris Opera. It featured the world's first sliding or retractable roof and state-of-the-art electrical stage lighting. The new Princess Theatre became renowned for drama, opera and ballet, a staple of entertainment for the next 50 years. It also became known for its most famous resident, Frederick Baker, known to the world as Frederici, who was playing the role of Mephistopheles in Faust. As he descended into hell amid smoke and flame through the trapdoor, Frederici suffered a heart attack and died on the spot. The cast, informed of his passing after the show, were in disbelief as they had just seen him on stage for the curtain call. Frederici continues to reside in The Princess with regular sightings and mysterious occurrences. In 1901, the outdoor terraces on the first floor are enclosed with stained glass windows to create a winter garden bar. Further renovations took place in 1922, and under the ownership of Benjamin and John Fuller and Hugh J. Ward, the auditorium and facade were extensively remodeled. Columns supporting the dress and grand circle were removed and replaced with cantilevered balconies, and the original shops and separate entrances to the theatre on Spring Street were converted into a foyer. The grand copper awning was also installed.
Joy 94.9.
I
satisfied enough to dream you. Happily I was mistaken, Joanna. I'll steal you, Joanna. I'll steal you. Do they think that walls can hide you? Even now I'm at your window. I am in the dark beside you, very sweetly in your yellow hair. I feel you, Joanna. And one day I'll steal.
Garnet H. Carroll took over ownership of the Princess in the 1940s and from 1942 to 1947 ran it exclusively as a cinema due to the scarcity of World War II. After reverting back to live theatre, the Princess staged Gilbert and Sullivan operettas, dramas, comedies and the new musical theatre productions. During the golden age of Melbourne theatre in the 1950s and 60s, the Princess hosted Australian premieres including West Side Story, The King and I and Carousel. In 1973, the Princess Theatre was listed by the National Trust, although by the 1980s the theatre had once again slipped into disrepair and could no longer stage modern shows. In 1986, David Mariner purchased the Princess Theatre and set about planning its total refurbishment, ensuring its future viability as a live theatre. A complete historical study was carried out, which recommended the reinstatement of the 1922 design, as most 1886 elements had disappeared through regular renovation. Samples of original light fittings were found and replicated, and almost 2,000 paint samples were microscopically analysed to ensure an accurate reproduction. Work commenced to raise the height of the proscenium, remove the 19th century stage equipment, construct a new fly tower above the stage, and install new bars and public amenities. Paintings and colour schemes were carefully restored, including the colour glazing in the auditorium dome, in which the colours blend from darker hue to lighter range near the central sunburst. Painters were trained on site in special techniques, just as it was done in 1922. On December 9, 1989, the restored Princess Theatre reopened with great fanfare with the new production of Les Misérables. It was immediately followed by the blockbuster The Phantom of the Opera, premiering in December 1990, which went on to smash box office records as the longest running show ever staged in Australia. Since then, the Princess Theatre has been established as a home of musical theatre in Australia. Beauty and the Beast, Mamma Mia, The Producers, Guys and Dolls and Jersey Boys have all opened in the beautifully restored theatre that once again became one of Australia's most loved theatre venues.
Mystery and intrigue. Behind the Curtain with Colin. Join 94.9.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that track. And that history on the Princess Theatre, which is has got a wonderful history. I'm sure you'll agree. About this time each week, we're going to do something called an odd spot. This week, the odd spot, because we're sort of moving a little bit away from musical theatre, but it's about celebrities and it's about famous on-screen celebrities. And these are really celebrities who never came out of the closet. And these days it's common for celebrities to publicly come out as gay in the media. That wasn't always the case. Many famous gay celebrities remained in the closet throughout their entire lives. And one of the most famous gay celebrities who never came out, and one that I love watching, was Cary Grant. And though he was married 5 times to 5 different women, many people believe that Cary Grant was actually gay. He lived with actor Randolph Scott on and off for over a decade. And Randolph Scott, you might remember, he was in a lot of the westerns, of course, very handsome man as well. And Cary Grant, he died in 1986 at a grand old age of 82. Another actor you'll be quite familiar with, Anthony Perkins, of course, and I remember him. I mean, he sticks in my mind from way back from the Alfred Hitchcock movie, Psycho, of course, and he co-starred with Janet Leigh. Anthony Perkins, he never spoke openly about being gay, as he was a deeply private person, and he feared being alienated in Hollywood. He died at 60, so he died too young. And that was in 1992. Now, a very handsome man in Hollywood. Well, there were a lot of them, weren't there? Montgomery Clift, you'll remember. A very handsome man. I think I might have said that. What part of handsome doesn't anyone understand? He was a gay and had a relationship with Jerome Robbins. Now, Jerome Robbins, in his own right, he was very famous. He was an American choreographer, a director and theatre producer. But Montgomery Clift, he never came out as being gay or even bisexual, but he died very young. He was 46 and he died in 1966. Another actor, again, more recently, I suppose you could say, or in recent times, Roddy McDowall, of course, and a lot of you will remember him from the early days of... he was in four of the movies from Planet of the Apes. And that was through, I think, 1968 to 73. And again, he never spoke publicly about his sexuality. But, many biographers noted that he was gay, and he lived to a grand age of 70, and he moved on to the silver screen in the sky in 1998. And one of the greats of stage and screen, of course, Laurence Olivier, and great Shakespearean actor, of course. And many of Laurence Olivier's biographers have written that the actor was gay. He was married to three different women throughout his life and never spoke publicly about his sexuality. And he died in 1989 at the age of 76. And Raymond Burr, you'll remember him from Perry Mason and Ironside. And I think that's where I get my love of whodunits on TV and courtroom dramas. I particularly like courtroom dramas. And Perry Mason, of course, he solved all the cases, always finished up. He was the winner. Raymond Burr actually made up stories about a fake marriage to women who died and also a child who died. And this was all to cover up the fact that he was gay. And he died in 1993. He was at the age of 76. And we mentioned Randolph Scott earlier. He was believed to be gay, but he did not speak publicly about his sexuality. And it was believed he was in a relationship with Cary Grant for many years. So a lot of people in the know would have or did know that. And he died in 1987. Now, he was a grand age, very grand age of 89. And the last of our celebrities, Dirk Bogarde, he was known to be gay, but never spoke publicly about his sexuality. He was in a long-term relationship with Anthony Forward. I'm not too familiar with who he was, but... and he died, Dirk Bogarde died at the age of 78 in 1999. So that was our little bit of an odd spot for this week. So I'll have something off-centre for next week. Now, you're on Joy 94.9. We're actually going to have another track from My Fair Lady, seeing it's a production that's coming up in Australia this year. So this time we're going to hear one of the final tracks with Rex Harrison.
I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune that she whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups, her downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in. I was serenely independent and content before we met. Surely I could always be that way again. I've grown accustomed to her looks, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face. Marry Freddy. What an infantile idea. What a heartless, wicked, brainless thing to do. But she'll regret it. She'll regret it. It's doom before they even take the vow. I can see her now, Mrs. Freddy Eynsford Hill, in a wretched little flat above a store. I can see her now, not a penny in the till and a bill collector beating at the door. She'll try to teach the things I taught her and end up selling flowers instead.
begging for her bread and water, while her husband has his breakfast in bed. In a year or so, when she's prematurely grey and the blossom in her cheek has turned to chalk, she'll come home and lo, he'll have upped and run away with a social climbing heiress from New York.
Poor Eliza, how simply frightful, how humiliating, how delightful.
How poignant it'll be on that inevitable night when she hammers on my door in tears and rags. Miserable and lonely, repentant and contrite. Will I take her in or hurl her to the wolves? Give her kindness or the treatment she deserves? Will I take her back or throw the baggage out? Well, I'm a most forgiving man. The sort who never could, ever would, take a position and staunchly never budge. Just a most forgiving man. But I shall never take her back. If she were crawling on her knees, let her promise to atone, let her shiver, let her moan, I'll slam the door and let the hellcat freeze. Marry Freddy. Ah! But I'm so used to hear her say good morning every day, her joys, her woes, her highs, her lows are second nature to me now, like breathing out and breathing in. I'm very grateful she's a woman and so easy to forget, rather like a habit one can always break. And I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face.
Oh, wasn't that a great track? I hope you enjoyed that. That was really the final track of My Fair Lady, the stage production with Rex Harrison, of course. Now, in the studio with me tonight, I have Clayton. Hello, Clayton.
Hello, good evening.
And Clayton's a great theatre goer. Now, Clayton's one of our technical whiz kids around the block, but Clayton's also has a show. He's on Stand Up Straight on Thursday night at
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
And you were a guest this week on my show, so it's only fair that I'm on yours.
That's right. Yeah, one for one. Yes, mm-hmm. keep it going. So, and you love theatre. What's some of the more recent, or what's some of the shows that stick in your mind, Clayton?
Well, I tend to go for the more modern stuff rather than the old fashioned ones you're talking about here, but I have seen some of them. Mm-hmm. My favourite musical was probably Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is definitely a more modern one.
Yeah.
It's about a man who escapes East Berlin by having a transgender operation and ends up with a one-inch penis.
Oh, goodness.
The music out of this is fantastic, and it's definitely a more modern rock-style musical.
Yeah.
You never seen it?
I can't say I know it.
I saw it here twice, performed by the wonderful Iota, who's one of our Australians' current fantastic performers.
So. That was in Melbourne.
Yes.
And how many? When? What years are we talking?
Oh God, I'm not that good.
What, it was a 80, few years 70? Ago. Yeah.
Probably 8 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's not too far back.
So it's quite recent. Yeah. The most recent musical I saw was a Melbourne Theatre Company production of Ladies in Black, which was set in the 60s, I think, or 50s actually. Come to think of it, it's set in a department store, it's just people singing around a department store, among other things. But it talks about the people travelling to Australia and the Continentals, as they're referred to in the show. And it was actually quite entertaining. It was flawed, but entertaining.
Of course, Melbourne Theatre, some of the big productions, of course, it used to run for a year or more. That sort of format seems to have changed. I mean, we've got quite a mix of theatre that's coming, has just been and coming up with Matilda, which is now playing, and I have tickets to that in May.
Delightful.
Which will be great. Looking forward to that. And, of course, we've got My Fair Lady. We've got The Sound of Music opening at the Regent very soon. And I've already got a ticket for the Book of Mormon for January next year.
I do as well. I'm not quite sure of the date, but I know I do have a ticket somewhere.
I cannot believe I have booked a ticket. Now, I booked that late last year, and when I was booking it, I thought, am I actually booking this ticket? What was it, 14 months ahead?
It's ridiculous. It's like...
It was a preview ticket, but I thought, I've just got to do it.
It looks fantastic, and I'm very much looking forward to that, and I can't wait to see Matilda, but I haven't got tickets yet. I need to organise that.
No, well...
And Australian's Tim Minchin has done the music for that.
Which is quite impressive. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, so I have to do a review, but I'm sure one of our other shows, we have other shows. Well, I'm not going to mention those. You'll have to look at our new grid, which started yesterday on Joy.
It did.
So please check out all our new shows. So there are quite a few new shows, and there's been a few changes. The grid's been rejigged a little bit.
It's definitely worth having a look at the new grid because it is all over the shop.
Fantastic, isn't it?
The other musical that's coming up, I think we have to mention because it definitely falls into our genre or our GLBTI community, is Kinky Boots.
Oh, well, of course. Yes. How can I not figure? I've got tickets for that.
You got tickets for everything.
Well, I suppose that's the way they're working now. I mean, they get the revenue in and
pay for the show before the show.
Yeah, and I have some friends who'd seen it on Broadway probably a year or so back, and they just said it was fantastic. And
I love the movie. It's a great fun.
I don't think I saw them.
It's definitely worth. It's not too late. There is ways in me. Checking out. It's a really good. Shwaitel Ejiofor plays the title role of the kinky, or not title role, but the lead, and he does an amazing job of playing this.
Cyndi Lauper, of course, she was the.
Yes, she wrote the music.
She wrote the music. How amazing is that?
One of my favorite performers of all time.
Really,
Cyndi Lauper.
I can't wait to see it. I have to say that probably be at the top of my list.
Yeah. I'm apparently going for my birthday, which is in November, so it's very pre-planning.
Both the same month?
That's the new.
And there's just a not too many years between us.
One or two.
How many decades? Yeah. I wouldn't know, but we won't talk about that. Mm-hmm. So, you've got a birthday present, have you?
Apparently my friends have decided we're doing that for my birthday already.
That's a nice present. I certainly think it's a nice present.
Definitely.
Yeah.
My present last year was actually Taste of Radio. So.
Oh, really? That's a wonderful present. So
definitely.
For any of you who are not familiar with what a Taste of Radio, it is one of our training programs, and it's I did it last year, and it's just a remarkable training program to do, and they teach you all about community radio. And have a look at our website, joy.org.au, and check that out, because if you're in Melbourne, and I think the next one or two is booked out, but there's certainly a few coming up, and it's a wonderful, well, Joy's a wonderful station to be involved with, of course. And a great community.
Now, Colin, I'm going to have to tell you, you've got some messages.
Oh, really?
Which is very exciting.
Well,
first
I'm so busy
show
pushing
messages
buttons
already.
Oh, excellent.
So, hello, hello, which I'm just assuming how that person says that. Just discovered the show. I really love it. Keep on doing the good work. Thomas, and I don't know where he's from, but that's from Thomas. So
thank you, Thomas. Oh, we really appreciate getting a message. And if you, when you say you just discovered, if you you didn't catch the start of the show, this is our very first Behind the Curtain. So please join us. And, of course, the show will repeat at 5 a.m. the next day. So, of course, we'll be in the regular time slot of 11 p.m. on every Tuesday night, Eastern Standard Time. And it'll repeat at 5 a.m. the following morning, which will be the Wednesday. So if you missed any of it, please, if you're up at that hour, time.
Yeah, definitely. You have another message, which for this time of night and first show, I'm quite impressed. Hi, Darl. What glorious music. A wonderful journey down memory lane. Cheers, Jeff from Bundoora.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. That's lovely. It's nice of you to stay up late and hear us. And, of course, another one we have. In fact, we've got one from America. And that would be from Ron in Fort Worth. So thank you, Ron. So, of course, joy is goes out to the world. So, and we're the only GLBTQ 24/7 radio station in Australia. So we're very proud of that. And our volunteers, which we have about roughly 300 of, and Clayton and I are just two of them.
Are you, actually, you'll be able to hear me every week on Behind the Curtain. Not that I'll be in the studio, but I am on one of the tags, which
you are.
We might play now quickly.
Yes, we will.
If you-
Now,
this,
now he, Clayton is a whiz with the technical stuff here, and Clayton's put this together. So you've just got to listen carefully because, and hopefully pick up where this is from.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The Great Oz has spoken on Joy 94.9.
I love it. Thank you, Clayton. Clayton did that specially for me, and I really appreciate it. So we're running out of time. That hour's gone so quickly. We might try and squeeze another track of music in. Thank you for being with us tonight. So we'll just have some music to wind down on, and I hope you'll join me again next week on Joy 94.9.
Sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.